Today on the Passive Study, we're going to continue our devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this opportunity to come together, to fellowship around your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to study your very words. We pray your blessing upon our study today. We pray that you'd bless the saint of God listening. We pray that the saint of God would be encouraged, strengthened, and built up in the things of thee. We pray that our lessons today and future lessons would help them to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we also pray for the lost sinner today that's never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood alone and nothing else, to pay for all their sins and secure them a home in heaven. We pray that this would be the very day that they would believe in their heart that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and that they'll trust only in Jesus Christ's shed blood and nothing else to save them. Father, with the angels in heaven, we will rejoice over one sinner that repenteth this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we begin in John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8, and we're going to read together the first 11 verses. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast stone at her. And again he stooped down, and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. From the hour of the first transgression, sinners have feared a personal interview with God. Adam and Eve fled from the presence of God and tried to hide themselves. Even now, sinners are still trying to do what Adam and Eve failed to do, and that is hide from the presence of God. Here in our scripture is a different picture. A sinner and the Savior in the temple face to face. We read, And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Her accusers had taken her in the act of adultery and placed her in the midst of Jesus. At the words of Jesus, all the accusers departed, leaving her alone with the Savior. Guilty, ashamed, and miserable, she could have left too. But she remained. It was here that the sinner met the Savior. We will not meet the Savior in person as did this woman. But there is a meeting place for every sinner, and that is at the cross. We have a great hymn of the faith which says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The first thing I want us to see is at the cross, the profane meets pardon. At the cross, the profane meets pardon. There was no doubt about the fact that this woman was a profane person. Verse 4 reveals the charge they made. We read this. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You see, her character was gone. Her friends had forsaken her. And even those who were with her in sin had gone. When all the accusers had left, one by one, and she was left alone with Jesus, the profane met pardon. You may have lived a profane life, and your character may have been smeared with shame. But at the cross, there is pardon for every sin. The Apostle John reminds us in his first epistle, in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 9, he says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's just that simple. We don't deserve it, but the profane are invited that they might be pardoned. Listen to the wonderful invitation that the Lord gives us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. We read this. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The second thing I want us to see is at the cross, guilt meets grace. At the cross, guilt meets grace. Fact that this woman was guilty cannot be denied. Verse 5 says, Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Someone may think that the law of Moses didn't mean just exactly that, but for such an act, the law of Moses did command that they be stoned to death. While she was guilty and deserved to be stoned to death, it was in the presence of Jesus that grace or guilt met grace. None of us could ever say that we are not guilty. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 3, in verses 10 and 12, we read this. As it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Who of the human race can claim goodness before God? Not one of us. We are all guilty. But there is a place where guilt meets grace, and that is at the cross. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, we are reminded, And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. The third thing I want us to see is at the cross, misery met mercy. At the cross, misery meets mercy. None of us can imagine the misery within the soul of such a person, so vile, so guilty, and yet brought into the presence of one who is so holy, so righteous, and so perfect. In verse 7, we read this. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. The revelation that Jesus knew the inward heart of all those present and knew they were all guilty of sin must have made her even more miserable, because Jesus knew her too. Yet it was here, in the presence of Jesus, misery met mercy, and the one who knew all things showed mercy. The sinner is miserable in the presence of dedicated Christians. The sinner is miserable in a service where God's presence is so real. There is a place where that misery can be unloaded, the place where misery meets mercy. That place, my dear friend, is Calvary. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 18, verse 6, In my distress I call upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. The fourth and final thing I want us to see is at the cross, a sinner meets a Savior. At the cross, a sinner meets a Savior. Whatever this woman was, and whatever she was guilty of, one thing for sure is the fact that she was a sinner. A sinner in the presence of a Savior. And we read, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When this sinner met the Savior, something happened, and she was never the same anymore. In verses 10 and 11, we read this. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, my dear friend, there is only one place where a sinner can meet the Savior, and that is the cross. Once a sinner comes by the way of the cross, he will never ever be the same anymore. Paul the Apostle reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My dear friend, at the cross, there is a meeting place for you today. Whatever your need may be, won't you come? Now we want to turn to verse 25 of John chapter 8. Let's read that together. John chapter 8. Verse 25. Then say they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. in the midst of a changing world. It is good to know that we serve one who is unchanging. You see, Jesus does not change with the time. Jesus remains the same forever. They said to him, "Who art thou?" His answer was, "Even the same." The same Jesus who stood by the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and opened the eyes of two blind men. The same Jesus who said to the leper, "Be thou clean," and immediately he was made whole. The same Jesus who stood in the storm-tossed boat and said to the wind and waves, "Be still," and there was a great calm. The same Jesus who stood by the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Come forth," and the dead came forth. After the great feast in Jerusalem, Jesus had forgiven the woman taken in adultery and was telling those present about his going away. They said, "Will he kill himself?" Jesus tried to explain, but they did not understand. You see, the natural mind cannot comprehend spiritual things. Confused and troubled, they said, "Who art thou?" Jesus answered and said, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." My dear friend, this world may change. Laws may change. Feelings may change. And the human race may experience a great change. But Jesus, my dear friend, is the same as we said of him from the beginning. And I want to give you a three-way that he is even the same. Let's look at this together. First of all, he's the same Savior. He's the same Savior. There can be no question about the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world as the Savior of the world and to redeem fallen man. You see, he came with a love and compassion for sinners. He went to the cross to redeem sinners. He commands his children to tell sinners. And he is the mediator between God and the sinner. You and I live in a modern time when the Bible plan for salvation has been twisted around until the average lost person can't understand. That precious soul that is lost and hangs over hell by a thin thread doesn't know what to believe. But I want to make it known more than any other time. The Savior of the world is the same. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, the Apostle Paul reminds us. He says this, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." They asked Jesus the question, "Who art thou?" He answered, "Even the same." He is the same. The Savior has not changed. And the person that wants peace in their heart and salvation in their soul must come just the simple way that has been ordained from the very beginning. The Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And they replied to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." My dear friend, without reservations, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ just like the Philippian jailer and like everyone who has been born into the family of God. So we see that Jesus is the same Savior. The second thing we want to see is he is the same supplier. Jesus is the same supplier. It is thrilling to read the Word of God and follow our Lord as he took care of the needs of those who walked with him. Remember how he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed over 5,000 who were hungry. Remember how he spoke to the wind and waves as he calmed the fears of his disciples. Remember how he called the weary fishermen to the shore and fed them. The average believer has the idea that such things were just for that day. But Jesus is saying, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Whatever he did for those who followed him in that day, he is able to do for us today. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, we read, "But my God shall supply all your need." The need, that word need is the key word. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." All your need, not what all that you want, but what you need. God knows. Because he has infinite knowledge of what you and I need. And he has promised to supply our need. And how can he do that? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All the gold in Fort Knox. Amen. All these millions and billionaires. Their riches do not even, as we say, touch the hem of the garment of the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, my dear friend, if Jesus could do it for those he met along this way over 2,000 years ago, he can still do it today. Jesus has never run out of power nor supplies. But he supplies our every need. We need to remember that. We need not to worry. Jesus told us not to worry about material things. In Matthew chapter 6, remember? And as he gave an example of how he provided for the birds, how he provided for them, and how we're more important to him than the birds. And if he provides for the birds, he's going to provide for us. And then he said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Look at how I've clothed the lilies of the field. Are you not more important than the lilies of the field? If I clothe them, am I not going to clothe you? So we don't have to worry about those things. He didn't say you didn't have to go out and work and make a living. But as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do before Almighty God, he promised, as long as you're living for him, that he is going to supply your needs and my needs. So we see that Jesus is the same Savior, the same supplier, and finally, he is the same shepherd. Jesus is the same shepherd. Shepherd, amen. Jesus often referred to those without him as sheep without a shepherd. And we see time and time again, we read in the Gospels that he had compassion on them. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36, we read this. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 36, we read this. But when he saw the multitudes, that's Jesus Christ, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see, my dear friends, when we look out, and we look out at a lost and dying world that's going to hell, and we see all these people, we should be moved with compassion because they are sheep without shepherd and they need Jesus Christ. I often think when I'm driving to work in the morning and I see the traffic and everybody's bumper to bumper, and I see and I think all these people are going to hell. Are going to hell. My dear friend, when you look at the multitude, what do you see? Do you have compassion? Amen? Is Jesus, are you, as Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. That word constraineth means compel. The love of Christ should compel you, amen, to go and try to reach the lost. Amen. One of the greatest psalms recorded is the one where David declares the Lord as his shepherd. In Psalm 23, verse 1, we read, David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." My dear friend, that wasn't just for David's day or for those of the day Jesus walked the earth, but for those who have received him today. He is our great shepherd. He's the same Savior, the same supplier, the same shepherd that he was from the very beginning. He still is today. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Not only is he the shepherd that leads his sheep, but he is the great shepherd that one day will gather his sheep. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, we read this. "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." We have seen that Jesus Christ is the same Savior, the same supplier, the same shepherd, even as he was from the beginning. Before we conclude today, let me say this. Even the same, Jesus has not changed. He has the power to save you today, just as he did those he met along the way while he was here. My question to you is this, or my challenge to you is this. Will you let him take over your life? Will you let him take over your life? Don't listen to all these false religions that are out there that say there are many ways to heaven. There is only one way, my friend. And you must come by the way of the cross of Calvary. My dear friend listening today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood and nothing else, to pay for all your sins and give you a home in heaven, won't you, with a heart of faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, just as that Philippian jailer did? And if you will, Jesus Christ, if you will let him be your Savior, he will not only be your Savior, he'll be your supplier, he will be your shepherd. My dear friend, won't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this day and be saved? My dear friend, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening today. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.